Great. Thank you so much, and thank you for the OSNAP emphasis on that. We love our name, and we love the way people say it and the hand gestures that come with it often. So today I'll be talking to you about how we've really translated an evidence-based intervention into practice and our different strategies for dissemination across the country and within our state. So I first want to acknowledge all my colleagues that aren't here right now. We actually have competing sessions, so most of them are across the street. But we have a really great team of researchers, managers, folks that are up here from the Harvard School of Public Health, but also a lot of partners at the YMCA and the Boston Public Health Commission that help us disseminate this. So you'll be hearing about them more later. And I have no conflicts, financial interests to disclose, but I have a lot of funding people to thank, so there they all are. Great. So today's goals. I have four goals for today. First is to provide you an overview of OSNAP, the Out-of-School Nutrition and Physical Activity Intervention. We've been talking mostly about schools today, but after-school programming in particular is really a place where you can address nutrition and physical activity with youth. I also wanted to describe the process and outcomes from our local partnerships to disseminate OSNAP through a train-the-trainer model. So I'll be talking through, you know, how we did it and then what outcomes we've seen so far. I'll describe the low-cost evidence-based resources for organizations to create sustainable changes in after-school practices and policies. So we're focused less on the individual behavior change and more on changing healthier environments for after-school programs. And then I'll discuss how schools, youth-serving organizations, and health departments can access these materials and use a validated measure to implement and evaluate OSNAP with ease. So, about OSNAP. So why have we chosen out-of-school time? Creating changes in environments where children spend their most time is really a great way to address their nutrition and physical activity. We've talked, like I said, a lot about schools, but we know that 10.2 million U.S. children are enrolled in after-school programming, and these programs actually serve low-income African-American, Latino children at higher rates than higher-income and white children. So we know we're going to be able to address health disparities and reach a lot of kids through out-of-school time programming. So what's the OSNAP background? This is a five-year project really focused on environmental and policy change. It started with a group randomized trial in the city of Boston with 20 programs, so 10 intervention and 10 control. And the core intervention was a learning collaborative that was delivered throughout the school year. We also had a partnership with the Boston Public Schools Food and Nutrition Services Department because that's where most of these programs were getting the snacks that they served of the kids, and many of the programs are situated within the school setting. So they're after school programs in community settings, but also school-based. This took a very community-based participatory research approach. We had a full planning year where we went through what are going to be the OSNAP goals, what's feasible, where are the priorities of many different stakeholders in the community, and then they also helped us figure out who we would partner with to implement the intervention and helped us along the way as we encountered challenges and really how to overcome those. So data was collected in fall 2010 and spring 2011 to assess the effectiveness of this intervention. So we observed the snacks that were served and consumed by the children with direct observation. We collected physical activity data through direct observation and also through accelerometry. So we got very specific estimates and valid estimates. And we also looked at screen time offerings, staff behaviors, and just the general physical environment. So do they have a cafeteria? Do they have a gym? Do they have outdoor space? Those types of things. I'll be talking about these validated practice assessments. We fielded these in the follow-up data collection as a way to get the site directors to report what their practices and the behaviors of the kids at the program were, to think about how to develop a measure as we disseminate this over time. So OSNAP took a social ecological intervention approach, and each of the activities in blue really show how we're trying to address multiple levels at the individual, peer, after-school program, organizational, and community level. So we have our food and fun curriculum that is really focused on the parents and the kids. Then a major focus is site-level policy and practice change at the after-school level. And then the learning communities really helped us make change at that site level, but then the sponsoring organizations, so whether it was the Boys and Girls Club or the YMCA or something run by the city, BCYF is our city health and rec department. And then what kind of policies could be lifted up and maybe made citywide or organizational-wide. We looked at changes in policies and practices, but also individual behaviors. And what we're hoping to do now is the green bucket to really disseminate within Boston Public Schools, statewide, within the YMCA statewide, and now we're thinking nationally, what can we do to disseminate this program? So these are the goals for OSNAP. I won't walk through each of them word for word, but we really focused on two major goals around physical activity, in terms of moderate physical activity, but also vigorous physical activity. A big thing around physical activity is most programs are offering this 30 minutes to some kids, but not to every kid. And so we want all kids to be able to be participating in physical activity with kids. Beverages were our kind of second bucket that we were really interested in being able to change. So limiting the sugary drinks kids were drinking, but also increasing their water intake. And then we also had goals around fruits and vegetables, whole grains, trans fats, and limiting screen time. I will say in our trial in particular, but even in our Boston work, there's not that much TV or movie time. Thank goodness we're moving past that, but there is a lot of what you were saying in terms of all those other digital devices, like those computers and all of that stuff. So getting creative, even over the five-year period, the new digital devices that have emerged and been prominent in these programs has changed. Okay, so like I said before, we do acknowledge that individual behavior change is important, and that's why we have our food and fun curriculum to really teach kids new skills and knowledge around nutrition and physical activity. But we really focus most of OSNAP on program practice change. That's things like the day-to-day operations of the site, like putting a water pitcher on the table, offering more physical activity options, and then both formal and informal policies. So the way we describe it is an informal policy would be some kind of written document, like a menu or a schedule, that you can show people, yes, I'm offering 30 minutes of physical activity to all the kids. This is what my schedule looks like, but it's not as formal as something like a parent handbook or a staff manual, and that's what we call a formal policy. There could be even more formal policies, such as we were hearing about at the Chicago Public Schools, where, you know, the entire Boston Public Schools decides to do something, or the entire YMCA. But we like to distinguish between some more local level policy change that they can do. So what is the OSNAP intervention? We have a series of three-hour learning communities that we hold for a total of 9 hours of training during the school year. This is with existing site directors, so this is all after-school programs that are already running and getting them to change their practices and policies. There's no new special nutrition physical activity after school program. We're working to change what's already there, the existing infrastructure. I think that's really important to make sure I point out. So there's a series of learning communities, and then in between each learning community, we offer technical assistance, usually by phone, sometimes by email, to make sure people are working towards the goals they set during their learning communities. So during learning community one, we introduced the OSNAP goals that I just showed you, gave them some ideas about strategies to reach the goals, and we had them fill out a baseline practice assessment to select goals to focus on for the year. They really focused on setting those practice-oriented changes, and they completed this action plan where you'd select your goal, and then you'd set practice, policy, and communication action steps throughout the year. Then in learning community 2, we did skill building around physical activity and healthy eating and policy development. So another commonality here is there were a lot of places that did not have a gym. So we had to get them thinking about how they might be able to promote physical activity in small spaces. So everybody got training around small space physical activity breaks. We also taught them how to write policies. I think this was unique and different. How would you write a passage on how to limit sugary drinks in your parent manual? And then how would you write a letter to send home to parents and tell them why you're doing this? We really gave them a lot of hands-on activities to get to those goals and support them along the way. And they would revise their action plan that they started at Learning Community 1 with new ideas that they came up with. One thing I'll highlight about the learning communities is we tried to bring together teams of 2 to 3 people per program, usually the director and then some support staff, and then they could share their successes and challenges at each learning community. That's one of the core components, is we are not the ones telling them how to do things. They really learn from one another, and I think there's more long-term buy-in when you take this learning collaborative approach. So then by Learning Community 3, they've really focused on what are the goals I want to be working on, how do I change my practices and policies, and then we focus on kind of some more overarching ideas. So how do you do staff role modeling? How do you extend this to healthy celebrations and rewards? This is actually the one the staff like the most, but it's the least focused on those core goals. But it's often these are the barriers. Like, well, parents want to bring in cupcakes, and my staff won't stop drinking their coffee coladas. Like, that's the type of stuff we hear and they get passionate about. So we do some of that. So there's, an overall wraparound healthy environment. Then they think about how they're going to implement and sustain these changes beyond that one-year intervention period. Okay. Then briefly, I did talk about the Food and Fun After School curriculum. It's an evidence-based curriculum that really aligns directly with the OSNAP goals. It's designed for K-5, so most of these programs are also elementary age. Because it's changing practices and policies, we have had childcare programs, we have middle school programs part of this, but the curriculum itself is much more elementary geared. There are 11 units with over 70 activities to choose from, and it really encourages healthy behaviors through active play, literacy and math skill development, hands-on snack time activities. So we try to teach those core nutrition and physical activity education pieces through fun stuff, not stuff that is like they're sitting in a classroom, but really getting around and playing games and doing activities like that way. We have these different types of activities because after-school programs often have like their niche. So I'm a creative arts after-school program. I can't do nutrition and physical activity. Well, actually, we have 30 art activities that are around this. There might be a technology and science one, and we get them to think about technology and science activities. There's a lot of literacy after-school programs, so getting them to, we pick out books that are promoting nutrition and physical activity messages. So we tried to make OSNAP Food and Fun, a very adaptable curriculum that really works with any kind of after-school program that's out there. It's very flexible. And we aren't very prescriptive about how you use it. Some people will have kind of Food and Fun Club every Friday. Some people will have little segments of their school year where they do it, all week for Food and Fun Week. Really, you can do it however you think it works best for your program. Okay. So then back to the OSNAP evidence base. So we did this randomized trial, and the results showed us that there were increases in water served and consumed among the children that participated in the intervention group. There were increases in those standard-based policy statements, so all the policy writing training we gave them, they actually implemented it. There were increases in vigorous physical activity among the children, and there were also improvements in the nutritional quality of the foods and beverages that were consumed at snack. So we really saw a change in a positive direction in most of our goals that we were looking to achieve. So then we went to dissemination. So this is a map of Massachusetts that shows you geographically where we've gone so far as we're working on this. The yellow circle is our work in Boston. It's the most number of schools we've reached so far. We've also worked in Fitchburg and New Bedford, which are kind of middle-sized cities. Those are those blue dots. And then this year we just started some work with the YMCAs, one at a time throughout the state. So just a little dissemination plug. So I'm really into this. It's the intentional process of spreading an intervention through channels in a social system. So a lot of research ends two slides ago, and we're really interested in how to make sure we design interventions from the very beginning that include measures that can really be picked up and spread over time without us needing to be involved. So, you know, we develop the intervention, we develop the evidence base, and then we develop materials that local health departments, YMCAs, schools that are individual can all pick up and implement. But that's why we need partnerships from the start to make sure that the intervention is feasible to implement. We really want to expand the reach and impact of our intervention now that the evidence base has been established. So I talked about each of these local partnerships, but I'll say a little bit more about them. The first two, the Boston Public Health Commission and the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, these dissemination strategies have been through CDC-funded grants, so the REACH grant and the CORD grant. They're both three-year initiatives. They're both about promoting policy system environmental changes. And a lot of the targets really aligned with the OSNAP intervention. So Boston Public Health Commission knew they wanted to do something out of school time, and then we were right down the street and we'd just done this randomized trial. It was a natural fit. They also knew they wanted to be focused on nutrition and physical activity for youth and really focus on a lot of the beverage work that they'd already been doing. Great fit. The Massachusetts Department of Public Health CORD project, they worked in a variety of settings. So they worked in clinical settings, child care, after school, and school settings, and this is just one component of that. And then our newest partnership is with the Alliance of Massachusetts WISE. So now the WISE is funding this work to build the internal capacity of YMCA staff to deliver this. And it aligns very well with their HEPA standards that are a lot of after-school programs are using, developed by the National After School Alliance. So why did they choose OSNAP? So we think that they chose OSNAP because it really aligns with a lot, I was saying the HEPA standards, but the Alliance for a Healthier Generation standards, the Partnership for a Healthy America commitment. There's all these out-of-school time nutrition and physical activity standards out there that tell you what you should be working on, but there's not that much telling you how to make the change, and that's where OSNAP comes in. It's evidence-based, and there's also an opportunity for staff development. So staff who fully participate in OSNAP can get a CEU, a continuing education unit, which is very valuable to programs that are working to increase their level of accreditation. Some states are really into this, some are less, but it can be a very appealing factor depending on kind of the out-of-school time programs you might be working with. So we take a train-the-trainer approach. We have a six-hour training on the learning community content and how to facilitate a learning community, where we go over all the content I was talking about earlier, about how to do technical assistance, check-ins. We will check in with them in addition to them doing technical assistance to the folks in the community. We do technical assistance with them before and after each learning community to make sure all the stuff we taught them in that six-hour training, they're ready to go. And we also do fidelity observations to establish master trainers. So somebody from our team will go out and observe the learning communities, and then at the end of the year we can say, this person, they delivered it well the entire year, now they're equipped to go out and train other people. And this is how we build a bunch of people who can implement this without needing us to always be the ones. So local dissemination of REACH. From 2012 to 2014, we disseminated OSNAP to 86 out-of-school-time programs in those first three Massachusetts communities, so Boston, New Bedford, and Fitchburg. And this year, we'll be working with at least 50 sites. I got another email yesterday. It's going to be more like 75 or maybe 100 sites through the REACH grant in Boston, and then 22 sites participating throughout the state in YMCAs. So our local dissemination outcomes. I mentioned earlier that we had this practice assessment that we validated that the site directors were completing. So we actually compared the direct observations and the accelerometry that the our research assistants were doing during the follow-up data collection of the trial to the reports from the site directors. And what we found is they were very able to report their physical activity outcomes, what they were serving to the kids, the amount of water the kids were drinking, really high correlations with what was actually happening in the program. And this tool is really simple to complete. It's just a direct observation on 5 days, Monday through Friday, and most programs run Monday through Friday, of the site director. And they take about 5 to 10 minutes at the end of each after school day to just say, how much physical activity did I offer? Did I offer a fruit or vegetable? I think it's about 15 questions, and it really only takes them about 10 minutes. And it also has multiple uses. So they fill it out baseline and follow up in terms of evaluation, but they also use it in that first learning community to set their action plan. So they have incentive to fill it out for their own use. And then the facilitators of the learning communities can look at all the practice assessments of the folks that are participating and set goals for where they might want to focus more in learning communities 2 and 3. So if they realize that none of the programs are reaching their physical activity goal, they might spend a little bit more time of learning community 2 focused on physical activity. If nobody has access to water, then they might talk through that a little bit more. So it helps each individual program set targeted goals, then the facilitators to set really relevant goals, and then it's a great evaluation tool as well. So here's just a snapshot of our evaluation of the dissemination phase. So before I talked about our randomized trial, but these are the programs that have been participating in kind of the next phase where we aren't the ones delivering it, but it's Boston Public Health Commission staff, it's school staff, it's YMCA staff. And what we're seeing is a great increase in both moderate and vigorous physical activity being offered. We're seeing a big decrease in sugary drinks being allowed in the program. So at baseline, 45% were banned, and at follow-up, it was banned on 73% of days. And then water as a drink at snack every day really increased. So some of our goals, like juice and fruits and vegetables, there wasn't as much change, but we really know that those juice and fruit and vegetable goals really need to be addressed at more of a school system level or whoever's providing that food. But we do know beverages in terms of water and all the sugary stuff that kids bring in their backpacks can really be implemented. And then the physical activity goals, there can be a lot of achievement there. We saw a good in the promising direction in terms of limiting computer and digital device time, and I think with a few more programs in here, we'll see that will be significant. So, how can you access OSNAP if you're interested? So there's a few different things I wanted to walk through. This is our osnap.org website. If you went to My OSNAP, you'd be able to develop an action plan yourself and fill out a practice assessment. So you can really develop something specific for your program and save everything there right on our portal. And then all of the resources that I've been talking about, everything from the slides to show a learning community to some of the more, the policy writing guide, some tip sheets, they're all in our resources tab. And then I did want to mention that OSNAP now has been recommended as an evidence-based material by the YMCA, by Childhood Obesity 180, by Center TRT, and by SNAP-AD. So people are finding out about OSNAP, and they're recommending it to others. And we've had about 2,500 users in just the first year that we have launched. So we're getting out there, and we want more people to access it. So how might you bring OSNAP to your community? I think that there might be two goals. You might be somebody who wants to do all of what I was just talking about, do a learning community with a bunch of partners, or you might just want to do technical assistance with one program or maybe three or four. Either way, there are a lot of materials that I've talked about and some others that you might want to look for on our website. We have a facilitator handbook that really tells you how to walk through each learning community. We also have an implementation guide that actually tells you all the logistics, everything from sample template emails to invite people to the learning community, to where you might find a location, to how you might partner with folks. And then we also have our action planning builder, our tip sheets, our fast maps, and we're developing a new online course that I wanted to highlight. So this is what it would look like if you wanted to fill out a practice assessment online. You could check off all those yes, no questions, and then you'd get a little report of an assessment. So it would tell you which goals you were meeting and which goals you are not. And then it would direct you to some tip sheets that look like this, or maybe a fast map that looks like this, that gives you some strategies that you might want to implement at your program, and then you build an action plan. So this is how you would do it if you walked through it online. And then you could also go on over to foodandfun.org to get our educational curriculum there. And this is just a little, I have a postcard in the back as well, but this is a intro to our online learning community. So we're really looking for participants who might want to do this throughout the country. You can work through all the things that you would do during a learning community in person, online, with discussion boards and activities and action planning. So if you're interested, please let me know. I think that's my, yes. Conclusion. So as a conclusion, OSNAP is an evidence-based nutrition and physical activity intervention. It uses a learning collaborative model for skill building and action planning. It has a validated assessment tool, and it's user-friendly and low-cost. So all the materials I've been running through are available for free. We're not charging folks for this curriculum. It's been successfully disseminated locally to over 150 programs through our partnerships and created changes in our physical activity outcomes as well as sugary drinks and water outcomes. And now we're scaling up to disseminate more nationally through our website and our online learning communities. So with that, I'm all done. In the dissemination phase?
No, sorry.
In the trial? Yep, okay. Let me think. So I did the consumption paper. So so in the water consumption, that was kind of amazing because it really, it went from a nice headline for this is like, if you serve it, they will drink it. We saw first we wrote a paper about what was being served, and about half programs served water and about half of them didn't. And then by the end, almost all programs had been were serving water on most days. And so the percentage change was huge in terms, I think kids were drinking like three times as much as they were drinking before. It's a small amount in terms of ounces because they're giving tiny little cups. But I think if you look at it from a population perspective, it was really great. And then I think the vigorous physical activity, I didn't write that paper, but I think it's like about 10 minutes per day more. But it was presented at Active Living Research, and it'll be out soon. But yeah, we didn't see increases in moderate physical activity, though, only vigorous. And I think that is because most programs were already offering that 30-minute piece, so they were just improving the quality of the physical activity they were already offering. But it's still health promoting and good outcomes. That's a very good question. It's like the million question, right? So these are the things that we did. The Food and Fun curriculum has a lot of parent components. So there's a lot of like one pagers you can send home to families. There's a recipe guide that kind of mirrors the recipes the kids are doing during the program that they could do at home, and it's priced out, so there are low cost recipes, things like that. But I think one of the bigger things is really reaching the parents through the change in the environment at the program, so letting them know that we're not going to allow sugary drinks in the program because these are the health, you know, issues with allowing the soda in the program. So we're banning them here and kind of letting them know, you know, why it might be important at home. So I think some programs did better than others, and some did like the parent night type stuff, but I think it's actually that piece that was new and actually maybe a little more impactful.
The Food and Fun program you indicated, is that part of the 150 programs that have already been disseminated, or are you kind of putting those together with the OSNAP, the Food and Fun program? Okay, the question that I have is, of those 150 programs, how rural of an area are they located in? Because oftentimes you see with rural communities, it's a little bit more difficult to get in there and have that sort of intervention, because oftentimes when the kids leave the school and they go home, it's a different story with having access to, I think one of the goals is offering the fresh fruits and vegetables and a lot of the goals and things that are on there. So I guess what I'm saying is, how successful do you think this program will be in the more rural socioeconomically depressed area?
It's a really good question. We're starting that with this new Mass Alliance intervention that's throughout the state. So the randomized trial was in the city of Boston, not rural. And so now the dissemination phase is really, you know, how could this work elsewhere? I will say we did a different research project before OSNAP began with the YMCA nationally in Springfield, Missouri, Seattle, Washington, Louisville, Kentucky, and Providence, Rhode Island. And when we were in Springfield, Missouri, they definitely went out into the rural communities. Yeah, so it was a larger piece. And we saw physical activity improvements. That was a big focus of that project. So I think there's promise. I think the barriers are different in urban settings and in rural settings. But I think that OSNAP is not so prescriptive that it says, like, you should do it this way, that somebody would be like, well, this isn't relevant to me and I don't want to try to do it. So I'm hopeful that it will work, you know, elsewhere across the board. That's how it's supposed to be designed.
Yes, yep. I think that's what you said, part of the Food and Fun is to work across diverse populations.
Absolutely.
Addressing that,
Okay. Yeah, good, good. Anything else?
Any questions? I'm sorry.
Good question. So we're evaluating, that's what the, these are all our, we're doing this practice assessment change at every level. So as the Massachusetts Alliance is disseminating, as the Boston Public Health Commission, so everybody is filling out this pre-post practice assessment change, and we will be able, we've already looked at like the difference between Boston and Fitchburg and New Bedford, and there are some differences, and so I think it will be interesting to see if the setting matters, if the adaptation matters, and by having us there for those fidelity observations, we have some ratings of like, did everybody do all the things they were supposed to do in the right order, and then hopefully we'll be able to tease that out. So that's a great question, and I think it's a very important dissemination question.